We have some wonderful scripture readings that the lectionary gives us this 19th Sunday of Ordinary Time. And they seem to revolve around thematically an issue of faith. And so I think it's important for us to maybe spend a few minutes this morning talking about that. And perhaps as a homework assignment, taking it out of here today and carrying it with you this week as you meditate on faith. I think it's important that the church and that Christians understand that our confession or our profession of faith is an extremely important thing, but also important is the expression of faith. I think we spent a lot of time about the profession of faith and maybe not enough time on the expression of our faith. Every Sunday we get together and we profess our faith. We confess it in words that have been handed to us either through the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, or as we'll do today through the United Church of Christ, our denomination's statement of faith. And that's good. Professing those words, praying those prayerfully, that puts our faith down deep into us. It helps us over time to live out the words that we've placed in us. But the living out part is the expression of that faith, and that's what we really should be meditating on. How is it that God is calling us out into the world to express our faith? James tells us in his epistle, he writes about faith without works is dead. I'm not going to get into some sort of theological discussion about that, because there's some in Christianity who say, you see, there it says right there, you've got to work for your salvation. Well, that's really not about salvation, except to the extent that as saved Christians, as people have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you need to know that you are called to good works. You are called to express your faith through good works. You're called so that folks look at you and they say, that must be a Christian. The reason I know that is I know them by their actions. Or as the song goes, as we sang last week, I know them by their love. They should be able to see that in you so that faith without works is dead. In other words, people ought to be able to know who you are by the way your actions come across to them. That's the expression of your faith. I want to use this illustration this morning to sort of make the point. You may or may not be familiar with the name Carol Joseph Waitila. Anybody, does that sound familiar to you? Probably doesn't, but I'll be like Paul Harvey. I'll tell you the rest of the story. So I'll give you the name you're going to recognize this person by in just a minute. Let's call this gentleman Father Carol, because that's what he was. He was a priest. Post-World War II, I believe, is when he was ordained a priest in Poland, which, of course, was part of the communist regime, right? There was communist bloc, Eastern Europe. And he was called to be a priest. He was ordained, I think, in 1946, served several different little parishes throughout Poland, doing what he was called to do, which was to show up on Sunday mornings, just like you've done, just like I've done today, to lead the worship of the Lord. But you got to remember, this is in communist Poland in the 1940s. And so while the communist government was okay, they weren't fond of, but they were okay with the church, what they didn't want was for the church to leave the four walls and to go out into the community. Because what the church was teaching, what the church has always historically taught, and what the church should be continuing to teach today, is in great conflict with communism. First of all, communism is atheistic by definition. They don't believe in God. Or the God they do believe in is certainly not the God of the Bible. It's the God of government or whatever it is. But Father Carol did that. He felt that that was his calling in life, and he felt that his way of expressing his faith was to lead his parishioners in worship. And so that's what he did faithfully, and he did it very well. And over time, he got promoted, and he went from being a parish priest to becoming a bishop. And he must have done that well, too, because the church found reason to make him an archbishop and later a cardinal. And at some point, the College of Cardinals met because the pope had passed away, and they held a conclave to elect a new pope. And he was elected pope, and you probably now know who I'm talking about. His name that he chose to serve his papacy was John Paul II. started out as a little parish priest in nowhere Poland, leading his congregation in worship on a regular basis, but again, being restricted in his expression of his faith because the government didn't allow for that. Now, we talked a few weeks ago, I think it was the weekend of July 4th, we talked about there are places in the world. China comes to mind, Iran comes to mind, other places around the world where what you did this morning, that you just did easily, you took for granted, you may have even thought about hitting the snooze button and not even coming to do what you're doing this morning. There are places in the world where you will be arrested, and there are some places in the world where you could be not only jailed, but potentially executed for doing exactly what you did this morning, waking up and coming to a Christian church. Back in Poland, before he was Pope, that was the kind of world Father Carroll was living in, a world where if he wasn't careful, he could get himself in a lot of trouble. If his church spilled out of the four walls, out into the community, if his parishioners began to express their faith, if he began to really express his faith, it could get him in a lot of trouble. But what our Bible tells us is that God has plans for us, each and every one of us, each and every one of the faithful, God has plans for. And we heard that this morning in this Old Testament story from Genesis. We hear about Abram. This is even before God had changed his name to Abraham, before God had changed Sarah's name to Sarah. She was Sarai. And they were old. And they had no offspring. And so Abram laments, "I have no offspring, Lord. You know, some servant within my house is going to become the heir of everything." And God says, No. I've got bigger plans for you. I have plans for you, Abraham, to be the father of many, many, many people. In fact, I want you, Abraham, to go outside. When you look up in the stars in the dark sky, if you can even count those stars, I want you to know that you're going to have offspring that outnumber those stars. If you go out to the beach and you try and count the grains of sand, you're going to be unsuccessful because it's too many to count. And that's how many offspring you're going to have, Abraham. Now, it would have been easy for Abraham to say, "God, I don't know who you are or what you think you're talking about, but you're a little cuckoo. I'm an old man. That's not possible." But Abraham didn't say that. He did say, "Well, yeah, I am an old man. I don't quite know how that's going to happen." But what he did was he placed his faith and his trust in God's plan. God said it. It's true. That's faith. So Abraham places his faith in God, and the scriptures tell us God credits it to him as righteousness. He could have said, "You know what? This is not possible. My old lady..." And I'm not just using that as a little nickname for her. She's an old lady. She's too old to bear children. And she was in the natural. But there's a lesson in that for us. We don't serve a God who is natural. Our God is supernatural. And if he says it, if he promises it, it will come to pass. Our job is to remain faithful. Our job is to be in faith. Our job is to not only just profess our faith and to know it, it's to go out into the world and express it. Isn't it a wonderful story how Father Carroll, although limited in the early part of his calling in life, the earliest parts of his vocation to ministry, was limited by a tyrannical government where he wasn't able to necessarily express his faith, but he remained true to his calling. He did what God asked him to do, and he got promoted, and he got promoted, and he got promoted. And suddenly, by the 1980s, he's on a world stage where he has an opportunity to say things that he could have never have said in communist Poland. And how changes in the world were taking place, that even back in his old country, in Poland, there was a man named Lech Walesa, and I never get that name straight, so I apologize for mispronouncing it this time, who was rising to power, who was coming up as one of the people, not one of the government. And how people like over in Europe, in England, how Margaret Thatcher was rising to power in her government. How over here in the United States of America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, an anti-communist, very pro-people president was coming into our White House. His name was Ronald Reagan. All of these historical things happen in the 80s where we see the fall of this godless communism throughout Europe. And each of those players, and many, many, many more who we don't know, they're nameless, but so many people had a role in that. But you look at the life of some little old priest from some little old town in Poland that nobody's ever heard of, who remained faithful to the call that God placed on his life, and then all of a sudden how the role that he had to play in these world events. It's not unlike, I think, the way the Epistle Hebrews explains today the story of Moses and Sarah and all these people of faith. It says all these people were still living by faith when they died. Ruh-roh. Yeah, you're going to die, folks. It's a one-for-one correlation there. You come into the world, you're going out of the world. Unless Jesus comes back before it's your time to go out. All of these people were living by faith when they died. And I thought it was funny, not to pick on you, but Mel stumbled over the next verse, and I did too this morning at the 8:30 service when I'm reading, because it says, they did not receive the things promised. And that's not what you want to hear when you're reading Scripture. That doesn't sound good. So you look at it and you go, they did receive the things. Wait a minute, what? They did not. They did not receive the things promised. But listen how it gets explained in the next clause. They only saw them. They didn't receive them, but they saw them. See, we live in a world of perpetual motion. Time is always moving forward. And just because God has placed something in your heart that you're called to do in the here and now, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to experience the fruit of that labor, but that doesn't negate the fact that God has called you to be a part of that movement forward in time. So Moses didn't live long enough technically to get into the promised land, but he had a huge calling on his life that led his people to the promised land. Abraham and Sarah didn't live long enough to see the huge amount of offspring that they truly would have in this world. But now, as they peer down from heaven, they look at this. I'm sure it all makes sense to them as it makes sense to us as we see it now. I mean, after all, Abraham is called the father of faith, is he not? Why? Because he believed God and God credited to him as righteousness. That is the covenant of faith. You know, if you remember, after that, the Israelites were not very obedient to God. And God said, okay, let me try and make this a little simpler for you. If you just can't believe, if you're going to build a bull every time something goes wrong, let me give you some rules to live by. We'll do it this way. You complete these 10 tasks, you keep them, all's good. So he hands folks a new covenant. It's called the 10 Commandments. Well, lo and behold, humans aren't real good at following rules, and we can't keep the 10 Commandments either. So God says, you know what, if you can't keep them, you need someone to help you with this. You need someone who can, in your stead, take the punishment for the fact that you can't. And so he sends his son, Jesus Christ, to earth to live with us, to die for us, to receive the punishment of the sins that we committed, because he committed none, to pour out his blood on Calvary, so that he could become an atoning sacrifice for us. So that when we, as John 3:16 says, when we place our faith and trust in him, we can have eternal life. That's a covenant of faith. Not unlike that covenant of faith that we see with Abraham. Place your faith and your trust in Jesus, and you too can have eternal life with the Father God in heaven. So this week, as you go forward, I want you to be thinking about, maybe you're not called to be Pope. That's okay. Maybe you're not called to be a politician, Weck Valenza or Margaret Thatcher or whoever. But my guess is, and it's going to be different for every single person sitting in the sanctuary this morning, my guess is the Lord has placed something in your heart that he's calling you to do. And it may seem almost insignificant at times, but I promise you, brothers and sisters, if it's the Holy Spirit who's calling you to do it, it is not insignificant. And so my prayer is that you find a way to remain in faith, even when it seems impossible, to trust that what God is calling you to do is exactly what God is calling you to do. And you may be thinking, but I won't even live long enough to see that. All these people were still living by faith when they died. See, the key there is they were living by faith when they died physically. But as I've said before, this physical thing we call a body, this bag of bones, that's not what this is all about. It's about an eternity. And so you need to be living by faith even up to the moment you take your last earthly breath. Not so that you can go, oh man, I didn't receive all the things I was promised, but so that you can see them, just as the scripture says here. You see them because you see the little piece that God has called you to, whatever that is. You see that part that God is calling you to do, to be, to advance His kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. That, my brothers and sisters, is what we're called to do and to be as Christians. And I pray that you are able to live it out and that you meditate in the coming days and weeks upon what it is that God is calling you to do, and that you have the strength to live by faith and not by sight. That's my prayer for each and every one of you, and I offer it this morning in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.